Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Here at least. I'm excited to be here. As we get started, as my dad said, we talked about prayer all last month. That was pretty cool. It's like our prayer month. We had prayer after service, so it was a lot of prayer. And in speaking on prayer, God is going to kind of test you on that. Amen. I was talking about that with us as Jesus learned how to pray before he went somewhere. After he prayed, there was a test. And we know that there's tests in our lives, and we could fail the test or we could pass the test depending on where our prayer life is. Amen. And it's when you are praying, it is no longer in your power, but it is in God's power. Amen. I'm excited because this new series that I know it's going to be a series because God already gave me a lot on it, but this is going to be called God Requires More. Somebody say, God requires more. Now, the funny thing is my wife is smiling because as I was working on my series, this sermon, she kept on saying things. The kids was like, we want more. Can I have more or something? And so what happens is we are in a lifelong battle of trying to get more, right? We try to get more. At our job, we try to get more, a higher position. We want to get more pay if we're working at a job, right? Sometimes we even want to try to take back less so we can get more in another area, right? When it comes to eating, sometimes we got to take less calories in, and I'm doing that. But that way you can lose more weight, right? So it's always a battle of more. We search our whole lives to get more of something. For many, it's more of multiple things. And it's a constant battle for more. TV is fighting to get more of your attention. Like when you're watching one of your favorite TV shows, they're going to put a new commercial in, and hopefully it'll be your new favorite TV show, right? So there's a battle of more. Music, you want more music. Now we got bigger iPhones, bigger tablets, so we can put more things that consume our time on it. But with all that search for more, we have to make sure that we are searching for more in God and more of God. Amen. Now, as I was really trying to figure out what God wants me to preach on, I'm really big on not preaching anything unless I've heard God's voice clearly. And we were talking about this at the men's gathering this morning. There is God's voice. There's our own voice. And then there's the enemy's voice, right? And a lot of times, we could tell, most of the time we know when it's the enemy, right? But sometimes, especially when you're preaching, you hear your voice say, oh, this will be a good message. I know somebody's going through this. And so what I do is I try to make sure, okay, God, is that really you? I want to make sure. So what happens is I'm trying to make sure I can hear his voice clearly, amen? This is part of wanting more of God. I want more of God. I want more powerful sermons. I want to speak even more eloquent. I want to see God move, so I have to wait on God. Amen? And sometimes it's going to take more time. I've been praying consistently with my prayer life, at least an hour every weekday, and it's been powerful, man. I'm excited because I'm like, yes, I can do it. I look at the clock and I'm like, yes, I'm almost done this time. It didn't take that long. You know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying to be in prayer. But sometimes God requires more, because during that prayer time, I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to speak on? Okay, if I don't get anything, I'm just going to keep on praying. And sometimes God takes me longer than an hour. He's like, I need a little bit more from you. You want to go further in me. I need a little bit more from you. Amen. So as I was praying, I had been praying. And then on Friday, I ended up praying on the way back. I tell the kids to take a nap in the car, and they do that really easy. After I pick up Kayla from school, she's pretty tired. So they take their nap, and I'm just in the car praying. And finally, I hear God's voice. And this is not a normal time when I normally pray. But I heard him say, God requires more. So I'm driving, and, you know, I'm trying to obey the laws and not text. And thank God for the talk thing on the iPhone or whatever phone you got. You can speak it, and it'll text it for you. But he said, God requires more. And as he said that to me, it was like a duh moment, but he put me through that test. Amen. And sometimes he's going to put us through a test to see and show you that he requires more. How many of you have ever been in prayer, and in your prayer life, it seems like you cannot hear from God? That's not a bad state. That doesn't mean you've sinned all the time. Sometimes it is. If you are living in a lifestyle of sin, sometimes you will miss the voice of God until you repent. But sometimes you're walking and doing what God has called you to do, but he's requiring you to go a little bit further. Amen. He's requiring you to just spend a little bit more time with me. Jesus, as I said, he said, just 1 hour with me. Jesus spent a little bit more than an hour. Because he had said that, can't you just do an hour? I'll be back. He came back. Man, you guys are asleep again. It might have been 30 minutes, but he kept doing this to encourage them to continue to pray. And as the disciples were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to pray more. They were able to see, because there's stories. I think Precious was preaching about it when Peter was in jail. The prayers of the saints are what unlocked him out. The prayers of the saints, they were continuously praying. Amen. And the word of God says, pray without ceasing. So we have to make sure our minds are in attitudes of prayer, because God requires more. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 3. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And like I said, this was kind of one of those sermons that I was just really on my face, like, God, okay, give me whatever you want me to speak on. And he gave me a lot of points. And we're going to, like I said, this is going to be a series, so I'm not in a rush to get this done. But after we read this, we're going to read the life of Joseph in the Bible. We're going to do a lot of reading today. Is that all right? All right. It says this, chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry, Mike. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me, write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, see, even with a scripture right like that, it could have just said, we are the circumcision, those who worship God in the spirit. But God requires more than just that. So you can worship God in the spirit, but it says rejoice in Christ Jesus. See, after you worship God, there's going to be times where after you worship, you're going to have to figure out if you're going to rejoice or if you're going to get fed up with your situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, worship is great. When you're worshiping God, it's great. But there's going to be times where you're still going to have to rejoice and count it all good, because you know that Jesus is a good God, not your circumstance, because sometimes your circumstance don't look the same as a good God. But you have to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then it said, and somebody say, and one thing about more, it always has and on it, right? And have no confidence in the flesh. What does confidence in the flesh mean? Trusting in your own abilities, thinking that you can handle it all. I got this under control, right? Now, how many of we want to be able to do that, but if we boast in that and we say it's in my own strength, there was a story in the Bible about King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had this big empire, basically, that he was the biggest leader in the world at that time. And he was on the rooftop looking at all he did. And one thing he said was, look what I did. I did this by myself. I am the great Nebuchadnezzar. And what God did to him, he humbled him. And I pray that this don't happen to anybody today. But God humbled him to the point where he was eating grass like a donkey for a time, right? Because God had to show him, no, it's not you. This is me. I chose you for this time. And it says at the end of when his time period was done, where he was done eating donkey and eating dude. I mean, it was crazy. Just imagine that, man. If I see somebody outside eating grass, you know, like an animal, you would be like, we need to call somebody. Right. But this is the king. So they were like, hey, they probably had to keep it. You know what I'm saying? On the low end. Oh, yeah, the king's sick. They had a little grass pasture for him to go out. And, you know, we don't know what it was like. But God had, at the end of the time, when God allowed him to come back to his mind, the first thing he did was praise God and say, God, I give you the glory because you have allowed me to do this. You know what I'm saying? And that's a strong scripture. That's a strong statement because today pride is higher than it has ever been. Pride is higher. We get to different levels. We're making more money than anybody else has ever been. I mean, like now we got billionaires. I don't know if anybody's a trillionaire yet, but it could come, right? The way that things go, if you get the right deal on top of the right deal, you could be like, man, I made it. And what people are doing now, especially in Seattle and this area, it's a very prideful city. It's a very prideful nation because a lot of people are well off. A lot of businesses are started here. So people think, I don't really need God. I can do this on my own. And it's dangerous because there's going to be a time where God will have to humble you if you exalt yourself. Amen. So God is requiring more. Even the people that think they have a vow of poverty, they have to get more of something. Guess what that more is? They're trying to get more humble, right? Like everybody is searching for more of something, but we got to search for more of God. Let me keep on going. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. And then this is kind of Paul just letting you know, if you really want to boast in that, I can boast more, right? You want to trash talk? I can out trash talk you. Let's see what he says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, concerning the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All right, you guys see that? Those were all the things that Paul did by himself, right? He said, if you want to boast about how good you are, look, I'm the best. I did it all. And, you know, it's funny that it's in the Bible like that. But Paul is just bringing them back to their senses. I did this. I was like this. I was a Pharisee. I had the greatest scholarships that man can get. I knew the law. Even when I was on the flip side, I persecuted the church. Like he said, I went through all of these things, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. You guys see that? Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, it's very important that we have this mindset in seeking more. It can never be higher than God. It should all be considered loss, meaning if you have to lose it, and if it's this or God, you should be like, man, I'm taking God without even a shrink, without even, I don't know, man. Because when you start doing that, like, that's looking good over there. Like Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil and the devil was like, look at all this land. He wasn't like, ooh, that's looking good. Right. He wasn't like, man, that city over there, I can have that. He didn't entertain his flesh. What he said was, in that moment, first he said, man doesn't live by bread alone. The next one, he was like, we should not worship anybody but God. Amen. Because the devil was telling him to bow down and worship him. And I'll give you all of this. So he said, man does not worship. Man should only worship the Lord thy God. So we see that Jesus didn't let his flesh entertain him. So we must not let our flesh entertain us. Amen. As we are in a chase for things, we need to chase God more. Amen. Back in the day, there was a popular statement in the church, and a Christian rapper took it and named it his label after it. It was called God Chasers. Right? We have to be God chasers. Everywhere we go, we should be chasing after God. When we're after our when we're at our jobs, we should be chasing after God. What does that look like? When you're chasing after God, it's like, God, I just want to please you. I'm not really worried about anything else. That's what I'm after. Just like we chase, man, you know, and sometimes, you know, we pray for bigger houses and bigger cars. Well, I need a bigger car, but we newer cars, right? And sometimes we're in such a chase after those things that we kind of miss the point of who God is. It's like, God, if you could do this for me, God, I'll be good. But we should be like, God, I'm already good, man. I appreciate what you've done for me to this point. And I'm going to continually be thankful for what I have. Something about more. Paul said, be content with what you have. Right? He said, be content. Being content doesn't mean that you don't go to try to get more. It means I'm fine where I'm at. Right? And for us, if we see that new Bentley drive by and it's glistening and it's looking clean because the guy only drives it two times a year, you know what I'm saying? And we're like, man, I need that. It's like, man, we start chasing after those things. Start looking it up and see how much does it cost. How many of us have looked up an expensive car to see how much it costs? We're like, oh, well, I have. Be like, huh, that Tesla costs $80,000 and I can get the supercharged one for $90,000. It's going to cost me $900 a month. Okay, let me, you know, like what happens is we get consumed with those things and we need to make sure we're consumed with God. Now, I'm not going to say there's nothing wrong with looking at nice things, right? But what's wrong is if your car gets scratched and you want to get out and murder somebody because they scratched your possessions, right? Or they stepped on your new shoes. It costs $150, and you about to fight somebody, and this really happens. Over $150 shoes. And those are not even the most, Michael Jordan shoes are not the most expensive shoes. I heard that there's some shoes that cost thousands of dollars. And it's just like people put so much energy into things. But that same energy that we have in those things, a greater energy should be into doing the things of God. Amen. What verse am I at? We should count it all as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Somebody say gain Christ. When you say gain Christ, that means more. A gain is more, right? So we have to gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not thinking I can do this by myself, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Okay, let's go to verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Now we're going to look at what Paul is going to get more of. It says, but I press on. Somebody say press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right. Then it says, therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So what Paul is saying here is, OK, especially in your walk with God, I have attained a certain position. If you've been living for God, you've been praying, you great. Right. But Paul says, don't look at if you saved 100 people last year Or even last month, you helped bring in 10 people to church, which was awesome, right? You don't look and be like, last month, this is what I did. We don't have a month's end in God, right? I did this, God. What do you think, God? No, we don't do that. We say, okay, forget what I already done. I press on toward the call in Christ Jesus. What you did yesterday or what you did last year in your walk with God, you should be able to start surpassing that. Amen. Your prayer life should be going deeper and deeper in God. Your understanding of the word should be growing deeper and deeper. We don't read just the Bible one time and then be like, okay, cool, I got it. We need to continue to go further and further. Not only that, but pressing in God for our giftings. You know what I'm saying? The spiritual gifts, it says he will give to those eagerly who ask. We need to ask for more gifts, God. More understanding of how to utilize the spiritual gifts that you've given me. More understanding of my purpose. More understanding of what you really want me to do. These are the things that we have to continue to press on towards God and the high call of Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we finish this race, we have to press on for more. Amen. Whew, man. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And I don't even think I'm going to get through all of this reading today. But I got some. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And this is the story of Joseph. And we're going to see all the things that happened in Joseph's story, good and bad, that more had to happen. Okay? Let's just pay attention to more in this story. It said, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, if your younger brother or your younger sister came and brought a bad report about you, well, how would you feel? You're going to be upset. All right? It said, now Israel loved Joseph. What does it say right there? More. All right, now I'm a father, and it's dangerous to love one kid more than another. Right? Because the kids will know. They'd be like, Daddy, how come, and even when you don't love the other one more than the other one, how come Marquise got to do this? I was like, well, you were at school. What was I supposed to do? You know, like, they have those questions because they don't want to feel like somebody is being loved more than the other. But in this situation, it clearly says that Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. It says, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, that's another more. Now, this dude got a fresh coat. Okay? Now, it was, you know, he had a lot of colors in it. I don't know what else he was wearing to match with it. He might have at least wore black, because black can go with all them colors. But you got to make sure he was still matching, right? So, it says, but when his brothers saw... And we ain't even talking about the sisters yet. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Look at these mores, man. See, that's what hatred will do. Hatred can never stop until you repent from it. It will never stop. It says they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, right? And he told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept this matter in mind. Okay? All right, so we see that hatred is going more, but we also see that God is revealing to Joseph more and more what's going to happen. Now, he's 17 at this time. A lot of times God will reveal something to you and it's going to take a while before it gets there. He's going to see if you're really going to follow his plan. Amen. God will show you something, but it doesn't mean it's going to come right away. When God showed that I was going to be a pastor, it wasn't like, all right, next week I'm starting a church. Right? I remember when I was Mother Mullins told me when I was about 15, 14, that I was going to be a pastor. I remember that. And we were in, remember Marcel, we was over there in on Garfield Community Center. When she told me that, I was like, wow, okay. But I didn't get it, though. I was like, okay, cool. You know, but I got other plans. At that time, I was still trying to make a basketball team. I didn't make it. But anyway, I was still trying. But sometimes God reveals to you something, and it's going to take time because he's requiring more of you to surrender. Just because God reveals to you something doesn't mean you're ready for that thing. And this is the powerful thing about Joseph. We don't know what Joseph was like. He might have been cocky. He might have been proud. Like, man, look, this next dream. Hey, man, look, you guys was bowing to me in the other one, but check this out. The sun, the stars, there was 11 of them. How many brothers? I got 11 brothers. I know what this means. You guys was bowing down to me, right? So, I mean, just imagine cockiness going with that. Because we don't know, there's a whole time period that God deals with Joseph, and we don't know what God had to take from him so he can receive the destiny that God had for him. It says, then his brothers went to feed the father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to them, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? Now, I don't know. See, like, these are kind of things in the Bible that it's weird. Like, this one dude, like, we don't know his name, but he asked a powerful question, right? And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to go too deep on that. But that's an interesting question right there. What are you looking for, right, in the middle of the desert? He said, and the man said, verse 16. So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Right? They said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what has become of his dreams. All right, now look, they already want to kill him. Now they're getting bored. Then we'll throw him in a pit. Like, sin requires more. They had to think this thing out, right? This is premeditated murder, right? We're going to kill him as soon as he gets here. We see him. How did they know it was him? He had that coat on, man. It was like, man, don't nobody got a coat like Joseph. That's him. They were like, okay, we're going to get him when he gets here. And then they said, see, this is the thing, too. They said they weren't just worried about him. They wanted to kill his dreams. They said, we're going to see what happens to his dreams. But Reuben, somebody say, but. Now, Reuben's a good guy in this, kind of, right? He heard it and he delivered him out of their hands. It's powerful. And said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he may might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Okay, so Reuben, if you look at this story, Reuben actually wanted to bring him back. So thank God for a Reuben in your life, right? One of those brothers that don't like you, but he likes you just enough so he's not going to kill you, right? That's what Reuben was. Because he's like, man, that's our brother. Why are we going to kill our brother? But they had other plans. Let's see what happened. Because it said he was going to deliver him and bring him back. But it says in verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? So now they're coming up with another another plan. They have to think some more to come up with another plan because they thought about killing him. The other brother said, no, let's not do that. Then they're like, let's not kill him because they still might have been thinking about doing it. Let's go ahead and sell this guy, right? Now, it's still kind of like, dang, your brothers? But them dreams, man, they couldn't stand his dream. It says, verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, right? And our flesh, and his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit. See, now Reuben was gone when this happened. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. And I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? Now, come on, man. They know it's his. They're like, nobody got this kind of, they know what it is. But it says, and he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him without doubt. Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him, Joseph, in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. All right, so we see there was still a lot of things that happened. There was a lot of instances of more that had to happen. Let's continue to read. I think I can get through this chapter right here, and then we'll close for today. But it said, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt in chapter 39, because chapter 38 is like a weird chapter. If you read that, it's like I don't know why they put it in the middle of this story, but they did. Anyway, verse chapter 39 says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him, this is another more right here. You see this? Because he bought him as a slave. Now he made him overseer of his house. and all that he had, he put under his authority. So what happened is he was sold by Potiphar, and now Potiphar's giving him raises, right? Not only is he giving him raises, he's giving him higher positions. He came in there as one of the least, and now he's second in command. So we see how God is allowing even more to happen in his life. And we don't know, the Bible really doesn't talk about what Joseph was like during this time. Because I don't think it was just like one day he come in and the next day he was the head of the place. I think this was time. And we don't really get to see how time works in the Bible. But through this time, there's probably things where Joseph was asking God, why did this happen? I want to be back with my dad. He's probably still having dreams, y'all, right? He's probably still having dreams, and he don't have anybody to share them with. He can't, you know, he's like, man, is this still going to happen? Like, there's going to be a time where God shows you something, and you're going to be in a place where you're going to wonder, God, is that really you? Now his dream is being, like, not only did his brothers pretty much kill him or ostracize him, now he wants to know, is his dream going to be ostracized? Does anybody go through those kind of things where God has spoken to you and you're still trying to figure out, man, is this God? So you got to see where he was at, because we only see, oh yeah, he was elevated, cool, but he's still a slave. You're the top slave. How good does that feel? It might not feel that good. It depends on if you get whipped or not. You know, you don't know. But it says, let's see, verse 5. So it was from that time that he had made him an overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. This is some more that's happening for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Then he left all he had in Joseph's hands. I'm sorry. Thus, he had left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, that's a little bit more right there, right? He got a little bit more. Some of us, anyway, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. All right, now this is more. This is another issue. This is more. So he's already the head honcho. He was the top slave. Now he runs everything, and the master doesn't even know what he has unless he comes and asks Joseph. So now he's a good looker, and I don't know if it just happened all of a sudden. Like, it was just like, whoa, Joseph, you looking good. Right? Like, if they just cut his hair and was like, oh, that's Joseph. Oh, okay. We don't know. But this more is a bad more. See how that happened? This more is now a temptation for him to either follow God or follow his flesh. And see, this is what happens. I've been talking to some people about just the music industry, and they're like, man, the higher you go up, the more, even in the Christian industry, the more secular it gets. The more people are searching and seeking things for themselves, the more they're following their flesh. And I was like, well, for everybody that's up there, they had to make a choice. They had to accept, I want more of God, or do I want more money? Do I want more fame? Do I want more success? There's going to be that time in your life where you're going to have that more, and you're going to have to make that decision. Amen? It says, but, hallelujah, he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to me to my hand. And there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Right? Now, see, this is interesting. He didn't say sin against his master. He says sin against God. All right. So that's even another step, because some of us, we don't want to sin against them. No, God is our number one. Amen. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. This is more and more and more, like, man, just imagine, like, she's really trying to get at this guy. Joseph, you wake up. Oh, what's up, Joseph? Come on, man. Like, hey, I got it. And she's plotting. That was the first housewife of the Bible, right? This is Egyptian housewives right here. All right, so it says, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work. Now, what was he doing in the house? Working. So he wasn't just laying around. See, this is the thing. Sometimes we can lay around with temptation and it's going to bite us. You got to stay on your course. Stay on your mission so that you can follow and figure out what God has for you. All right. So Joseph wasn't in here on break. He wasn't like, let me go into the house. He was doing his job. And none of the men of the house was inside. So she plotted this thing out, right? She probably said, hey, man, the cows all ran off. I need you to go get them. You know, who knows what she said to get them all out. But that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. That's how we got to do. You got to run, right? When temptation comes, you got to run. And it's not an easy thing to run. I'll tell you that. But you got to do it. You got to make it up in your mind before you get to that place. Amen. And Joseph had his mind up. And it says, and so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me. And I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. This is some more. This is what more lies, though, right? There's so much more in this story that we get to see. It says, so she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard his words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Now, listen, it could have just said he put him into prison, right? But God had more even for Joseph when he was going to prison. He went to the king's prison, right? Now, how many of you know, like, when they got famous people in the United States, they don't go to normal prisons, right? Why? Because they are semi-protected when they're in prisons. They're going to get their own cell. They might even got, like, a nice little cushion seat, you know what I'm saying, a nice bed. They go to a different prison than everybody else goes to. So we see that God even allowed Joseph, when he went to prison, to go to the king's prison. Interesting, right? If I got to go to prison, let me go to the king's prison, right? That's where Joseph went. But the Lord was with Joseph. This is more. And showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And check out what the keeper does. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Amen. We see what God allowed to happen to Joseph. Even in his trials, God allowed him to be head over everybody. This prison guard was like, when Joseph came in, oh, I don't got to work. Joseph, man, handle everything. And it was going so good that he was like, yeah, I don't even, Joseph, what's going on with that inmate right there? Is he cool? Oh, yeah, Joseph said he's cool. Okay, I don't got to worry about it. Because God allowed him to go to a king's prison, and now God is also, everywhere Joseph went, God allowed him to be the leader. Amen? We're going to finish this next week, but God is still requiring more. He's going to require more from us, and God is going to give more to us as we are continuing in his purpose and in his plan. Amen. And this is not always more finances, even though it will be, right? We don't always pray, God, I need more money, and just get it right out of the way, right out of, like, if we pray like that, God, I need $1 million, and pow, woo, God, I need 10 million. It will never stop. It's like, you guys ever watched that, that cartoon movie where the food is flying out the sky, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? They were eating it. It was like, yeah, but it didn't stop. After a while, it didn't stop. They kept putting in orders. Yeah, make me a rare steak. Wow, wow. It kept coming, and then they couldn't stop it. But that's the way that we would be. If you saw the mayor, he was a short little guy. At the end of the movie, he had to walk. He was so big, he couldn't even walk. But that's what happens when if God just gave us everything we asked for instantly. We abuse it, right? But God is requiring more. Let us stand. Let us pray. Dear God, I just thank you for this word. Dear God, we pray to God that you would allow us to know what you are requiring from us, oh God, to get to this next level in you, oh God. We don't want to just be complacent Christians. We don't want to just say, I did whatever I needed to do, and God, I just, that's good enough. But God, we want to give you more. More of our life, more of our talents, more of our purpose, oh God. We want to give it over to you so that we can follow exactly what you have blueprinted for us, oh God. And Heavenly Father, we just pray to God and thank you for every person that is here today. Dear God, I just pray to God that you strengthen them. Dear God, encourage them, dear God, so that they can walk out all that you've called them to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen. We don't want to leave without asking for anybody's, if anybody needs prayer.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.